Hello and welcome to Perfectly Paranormal, episode 69. My name's Anna Schmidt, and I'm here every week to share with you true paranormal encounters and information about devils, demons, and dark energy beings that no one else talks about. And today we're discussing the phrase, "The devil made me do it." Now, it's quite a common expression, which I hear all the time. And is there any truth to it? So we're going to explore the origins of this excuse, why people use it, and what hides behind it. So let's get into it. Let's look at the origins of "The devil made me do it." Now, there's a man named Flip Wilson. He's an American comedian. He was the first one to actually use this phrase way back in the 1960s because he was a little bit of an outrageous, bit of a cheeky man in his behaviours, in his language, and his very unusual humour, which may have offended some people in those days because they were a little bit straight-laced back then. And he would sometimes smile quite cheekily into the camera and he'd say, "Oh, you know, the devil made me do it." And some people would think it was funny. You know, it was all done in humour in those days. And his personality, wherever he went, would get the ratings up. And he gained popularity quite fast. But still, this underlying emphasis that comes with this "the devil made me do it" phrase was on blaming someone else for your inappropriate behaviours and actually getting away with it. The devil has quite often been used as a scapegoat by many people over the years, over the decades, probably over the centuries, who are looking for an easy way out. And this phrase that people use, they might just think it's simply words, but there's always energy that comes with the words. And if you listen to this podcast often enough, you'll hear me talk about the energy, the vibration, the frequency of our thoughts, words, actions, and reactions. "The devil made me do it," as a phrase, strongly suggests possession. So if you think about it, if you really, really think about it, the devil made me do it. The devil's on the outside of you. He can't actually influence you that easily. And I always talk about on this channel about how paranormal beings can influence people's behaviours within their energy fields. They don't make you do anything, which is the crux of what we're going to get down to today in this whole podcast. But they can enhance your personal triggers that are already there. And we will be unpacking that in quite some detail. Now, I know possession is a thing because I've helped energetically remove many demonic level entities from clients over the years. So it's quite common for people to have paranormal entities within their energy fields, within their physical bodies, their organs, their chakras, their meridian lines. It is just a thing. We are energy in these physical bodies. Dark and demonic beings, all lower vibrational beings are energy, just like your higher vibrational beings. But I must say, don't panic. Don't panic and start getting paranoid about everyone that you're around. Possession is not what you see in the movies. That is actually horror. And I did do another episode on paranormal versus horror. I can't remember the number of it, though. You'll have to look it up in the index. But in that episode, I talked about the differences and the similarities between paranormal and horror. So what you see in the movies, what I'm trying to say, the very long-winded way of saying it, what you see in the movies is to get ratings, is to get people to watch the movies. People love paranormal drama. They love the horror that comes with the supernatural, supposedly, if you look at it that way. But in reality, there's always a flip side. I always look at the reality of being around energy beings. Demonic possession can warp your mind. It can affect your body and it can influence any known or underlying tendencies and behaviours. Now, I'm going to expand on that later. I know I keep saying that, but just hang in there. Now, I discussed possession in depth back in episode 32 of this podcast, and I gave real-life client experiences as prime examples of what demonic-level entities can do with a vulnerable person. If you're interested in an in-depth look at possession, please check that episode out. Send me an email. Let me know what you think. Have you got any questions? I'm always up to have a discussion about the paranormal. So let's look at what hides behind this very widely used excuse. Now, you must remember here that I am not a mental health professional. I do not have any medical training. So what I talk about now is purely giving my opinion, my personal opinion, from an energetic perspective, from what I've seen in my clients over the decades. And I always like to share what I see in people, but I also, before I see clients that may possibly have some sort of possessive entities within them, they are always seen by their doctor and their mental health professional. Energy clearing is always third on the list. And I like to just say that every now and again when I'm talking about these things, so that people don't assume that everything is energetic, because it's not. The energy component of these problems is usually a part of the issue. And depending on the individual person, depends on how much of it is medical, mental health, or energetic. Now, quite often, it's a psychological trigger in most people to blame someone else for our inappropriate or irresponsible behaviours. I don't know what came over me. Or they'll say something like, oh, I wouldn't say or do anything like that. People do it all the time, when really, the person was triggered for a variety of other reasons, many of which fall into the mental and emotional health areas, such as, but not limited to, personal trauma, which a lot of people call PTSD. People who have rage or anger issues and sort of random outbursts. Mental or emotionally diagnosed or undiagnosed conditions. There are many people out there who won't see a doctor, or they haven't found the right one. They haven't found the right mental health professional to actually help them with their problems. So they just throw their arms in the air and they give up and they're like, well, I'm just going to have to live with it. I'm just going to have to deal with it. And they're not the only ones living with it. Their family, their friends, and the people around them have to live with their condition as well. Now, mental and emotional vulnerability is a big one. It is a biggie because nearly all of us have had some sort of life trauma, but not everyone has been manipulated into unspeakable acts by other people. Now, there are personalities out there that are very charismatic and they can pick an easy target a mile away. And they will latch on to that person to use them for whatever sadistic or depraved needs that they have. So I'm talking about the psychopaths and the narcissistic personality types. They love to cause pain to other people. Now, there are people out there too that like to play the victim to fulfill some sort of attention-seeking needs that they have. Now, the last one that I'm going to mention is the way that religion can use fear and control people's minds and their actions and their thoughts and the way that they live their lives. They think that if they're not a good person, whatever that means, there's so many things involved in that, that, you know, the devil may possess them or they'll go to hell. Now, there's an interesting case, well-known, well-publicized legal case for manslaughter about a man who claimed the devil made me do it. Now, if you look it up online, I'm going to leave lots of links in the description box. And it was made into a movie in 2021. Now, I'm not going to mention the name because I don't know if I'm allowed to. I'm going to mention the man's name, though. So if you type his name into Google, you will find the movie that it's linked to. Now, this man named Arnie Cheyenne Johnson, he claimed in court demonic possession as his defence for the murder at his own hand of his landlord, Alan Bono, back in 1981. I knew nothing about this case. I thought I'll do some research online, but I'll also watch the movie to get an idea about how this man could possibly claim that the devil made him do it. I sat there in typical Anna fashion. I am terrible to watch movies with. I talk all the way through them. I'm unpacking it. I'm doing my detective work. I'm really, really annoying to sit with when I watch movies. So I watched this movie by myself and I just sat there like shaking my head and just pointing at the screen going, oh my gosh, why? Why would you do that? Why? Now, I won't spoil it for anyone who wants to watch the movie, but I'll give a few little hints about what's in it, but I'm not going to be a spoiler. This is really important, so I am going to share this. Fairly early on in the movie, there was an issue with a young man possessed by a demon, very young, like you're talking less than 13. And the whole family were in the room. I don't know why they were in the room when a particular couple were going to do an exorcism. You do not have anyone in a room when you are doing an exorcism because demonic beings will hop to another host, depending on how vulnerable you are. I'm going to talk about that in another episode, but I'll touch on it today. It is really, really important, and they should have known better. But anyway, I'm not going to get on my soapbox. Now, Arnie was present in the room when this exorcism was taking place. And it is thought that he was so upset and so distraught for this friend. It wasn't a family member. It was a friend of the family that had this issue. That he kind of jumped into the whole process and asked for the demon to possess him. Like, seriously, that is a bad move. Bad, 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 bad. You could not do anything worse. Now, the demon may have possessed him, it may not. Depending on his level of mental and emotional vulnerability would determine whether this very strong energy being considered him to be a suitable host. Because believe me, they're very picky about who they hang around with. Demons don't, and I'll say it again, demons don't make people do unspeakable acts. But people who already have underlying issues, underlying mental health conditions, underlying tendencies, these can be enhanced by the paranormal entities to get their food source. Now, we all have some sort of trigger. There's no denying it. You can't say, oh, no, I'm all pure love and light, because that is an utter load of rubbish. And if you're going to turn this podcast off right now because I've said that, well, good luck to you. I am not judging. I never judge people. I'm just putting it out there. We all have something that triggers us, and these energy beings know it. They just do. Don't ask me how they know. They just do. And I'm going to outline 7 different reasons that I unpacked for Arnie doing what he did. So these are 7 things that I spent quite a long time thinking about. There was no information about this online, or except maybe a couple of things. But the rest of it, I'm like, I do wonder, I do wonder, I do wonder. We will never know why he did it, because we are not in Arnie's body. We are not in Arnie's mind. But we can suppose some possibilities. Now, number 1, Arnie gave himself freely in that moment, without thinking, to save David. We don't always think actions through when we do them. Like sometimes we just dive in the deep end. And in that moment, if you're seeing a young person struggling, you are going to want to dive in and help. So technically, people shouldn't have been in that room when an exorcism was being carried out. Now, number 2. Now, for Arnie to kill Alan Bono, was there a deeply hidden personal trauma or trigger which this possible possessive entity triggered in him in that instant when he attacked Alan? Now, I did look it up online about Arnie's childhood because I always like to go back and unpack someone's childhood, their lifestyle as a youngster, but I found absolutely nothing. Everything online, is about the court case and about the movies and about the documentary. From my perspective, from what I've witnessed with my clients through doing personal energy clearings, our behaviours and perceptions are often formed before the age of 7 and 8 years old. And they always come from the role modelling that is observed and given from our caregivers, but also from life situations and experiences. What we are exposed to as youngsters quite often is absorbed into our personality and our perceptions, and that is how we view life. And I did wonder if Arnie had had a troubled childhood, which may have led him to a moment of extreme anger when he stabbed Alan Bono. Now, it's also mentioned in an online article written by the Time magazine that Arnie was very possessive of his partner. Now, who hasn't had a partner that was like that? There are many, many of them out there. They're possessive, they're jealous, they don't want you talking to other people, especially those of the opposite sex. And usually because the person who's feeling very possessive has got very low self-worth, doesn't feel like they've got any power in the world other than to be possessive over this person. Now, like I said, Arnie was said to possibly be very possessive of his partner, Debbie. Now, they weren't married yet. They were still going out. And she was said, in this article, to possibly have had an affair with Alan. So did Arnie know about this? Had he witnessed something? Had he seen something with his eyes? Had he heard a rumour? Had he heard them talking? Was it a planned jealousy, revenge, premeditated crime? Not a spur of the moment, demonic invoked attack. Was he using that as an excuse? Now, if you do some online reading about this, you can make up your own mind on that one. Now, did Arnie have a paranormal addiction? And he actually wanted to experience possession. Now, there are people out there like that. I was a paranormal tour guide for a while, and we were roaming around a building with a group of guests one night. We all had our little devices and things, and we walked into a dark room, and out of the blue, this man in a black beanie stood there and said, "Any demons in this room, please come and possess me now." And I just stood there looking at him like, "Seriously, dude." I wasn't allowed to say anything because I wasn't employed there for my psychic abilities, my psychic skills, my psychic knowledge. I was employed there purely as a tour guide. But Arnie, like I mentioned back in number one, he was saving David. But did he also have a paranormal addiction that had drawn him to be in that room? Most people would run a mile if they thought that someone had demonic possession. Now, number five. Arnie, did he actually hate Alan for another reason that we just don't know about? And he made a conscious choice to kill him. Or was it? Was it a planned accident to cause pain and suffering to Alan and it went wrong? The problem with that is that a lot of the articles that I looked at and read online said that Alan had been stabbed multiple times. Now, some articles say he'd been stabbed 4 times. Some say he'd been stabbed 19 times. Like, to even stab someone 4 times, there's anger there. There is rage. Now, to the very extreme end of the scale, the demonic presence, now something that just popped into my mind, was there more than one demonic presence? Everyone goes, "Oh, there was a demon." Excuse me. They never, ever, ever travel alone. I cleared a house the other day and there were 12 present in the home. There is never, ever going to be one. I don't know if they travel in groups for safety or maybe they just like each other's company. Who knows? But if he had multiple demonic level energy beings, they're just a heavy, denser, more manipulative level of dark energy. The dark energy beings that move your cups and play with your internet and cause sort of minor problems, they're just your soldiers. They're what I call, I think of the Dark Legion as an army when I explain it to people. Just an easy way to do it. is that the dark energies are just your, they're your privates. They're out there doing what they're told. Yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir, I'll go and do it. Then you've got all your different levels. You know, you've got your generals, you've got your sub-commanders, you've got your legion generals. So did he have some very, very high-ranking demonic level beings, group of them, maybe 2, 3, 4, 5 possibly, that were present? Because that would, in fact, manipulate someone to do what he did. Because if he has underlying anger as his trigger, you know, say he's been bullied as a child. I'm going backwards here a bit, but there's a reason. Say he's been bullied as a child, and he's pent up all this anger in his body. He's never outwardly been angry, but oh, he's been brewing. He has been brewing and stewing, and the pot's nearly full. Did these beings tip him over the edge in this situation? Because he may have not liked Alan. Was Alan more good looking? Did Alan have more money? Did Alan have more self-worth? And did he think that Alan was a better person? Was he jealous that Debbie liked Alan as a friend? I mean, we all have male and female friends. That's quite normal. And we don't know what went on in Arnie's mind. Now, these beings could use his body to commit that crime in a really, really extreme situation. I highly think not, but who knows? You know, who knows? I'm not passing any judgment on Arnie because of what happened. There are so many different components to this that we do not understand. We are not in his body, not in his mind. So number 7, did Arnie have a moment of human insanity and committed the crime for whatever reason? Because apparently he blanked out. A lot of the reports I read said he just had no memory of actually committing that crime. A lot to think about there, a lot to unpack, but I'm neither saying yay or nay to the demons making him do it. I just like to offer you some perspectives, give you something to think about, let you unpack it a little bit more. So what can you take away from all this? You'll be wondering, what does she mean? Well, really, the devil doesn't make you do anything, so please don't use that excuse. Own up for your mistakes. We all make them to varying degrees. This is me getting on my mum box. Your conscience will be much clearer if you own up, make amends, learn from your inappropriate actions or behaviours, whatever it is that you've done, own it. It can be really tough at first to be accountable, but in the long run, you will thank yourself for doing it. Now, I'm just going to say this again. This is a post note. I actually wrote this in my scripting notes that I have for my podcast episodes, just to keep me on track. Otherwise, I end up God knows where when I should be talking about something else. Why would a room full of people be present during an exorcism? Now, I'm going to give a smaller, less extreme example here. I was at a friend's house in the north of Tasmania. She asked me to look into a place where she works. I was given the permission by the land to have a look. It was in the early days, and her son was curious about what I do. Most people are. They want to know why I do it, how it works, and everything else. I'm sitting at her kitchen table because I was there for a little bit of a holiday. I don't have a holiday, really. Everywhere I go, there's some sort of paranormal occurrence is happening. Remember, paranormal addict here. So I'm sitting there at the kitchen table. I had my folder open, had my pendulum, had my process that I was going through. I felt her son walk up behind me as I'm tuned into this building. I'd created an energy cord with permission to check out the building. As the son is standing behind me, he started to wobble. He went, "Oh, I don't feel well. I don't feel well." And when his mum came to get him, she said his eyes had gone all glassy. And I said, "Right, take him to his room, lying down. I'll be up there and have a look in a minute." Now, this wasn't an exorcism. This was me tuning into a building where there were some demonic beings. When I see these beings, they see me. They know I'm coming into the building. They came to my friend's house. They were present in the area where I was doing that small clearing. They were present observing me, probably trying to decide whether we attack or not. Is she respectful or is she disrespectful? What do we do? So this young man stepped into that space. Now you could imagine a whole room full of family members who are stressed and upset and traumatized by the fact that there is a young person and needs to have this exorcism done. Imagine the emotions and the trauma in that room. These demons would be just feasting on it. Exorcisms should always be done just with the person doing the work, possibly a supporter, and the client. I do all of my work long distance. So I work from home, where I live, in Tasmania, sunny Tasmania at the bottom of Australia, and I work with people worldwide just by looking at a photo of their face, and I've got their name. And I can do this work long distance because you have the person's permission to tune into their energy. So I'm just going to leave you with that. Lots to think about today. I hope you've enjoyed hearing me talk about the excuse, the devil made me do it. So in episode 70, we've still got a heavy topic. Oh my goodness, when is it not a heavy topic? We are exploring recreational drugs and paranormal entities. And what is the connection? Is there a connection? Do we avoid the connection? Do we not want to know about it? You will be surprised at some of the stories that I'm going to share with you. Now, I've worked with many, many people and their homes where mostly marijuana is the culprit. Sometimes the mushrooms are involved. They're both natural, growing out there in the wilderness, or they're being cultivated. They're the culprits for attracting dark energy beings into people, into their homes, into their sheds. You'd be surprised where these paranormal beings hang out and what else it attracts to the person and how it can turn their lives upside down. So join me if you dare for this rather interesting mind-opening experience and also a house that I now call the Marijuana House, which I found rather fascinating and how it affected one particular person that lived there. So I will see you next week and I look forward to it. Oh, and don't forget, if you like the content of this podcast and you don't want to miss any future episodes, please subscribe. And you can share with your friends so we can get the message out there. We can spread the message about these paranormal pranksters and what they get up to in our homes. I would really appreciate it. So thank you for joining me today. And don't forget, if you want to share a paranormal experience just with myself, or you would like me to share one of your experiences through my podcast, you can do a voice recording, or you can write out your experience and I will read it exactly as you have written. You can email me at spiritualbeing44@gmail.com. And for information on paranormal house clearing, you can visit my website, Spiritual Being. You will find the address in the description box. And I look forward to sharing this spooky space again with you next week. And remember, life is perfectly paranormal.